Our next guest, one of the funniest comedians in the business. She's coming to Maine for 3 shows at the end of November. Oh, and of course, you hear her on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And as if that's not enough, she is the reigning Downtown Madness Champion for 2021. We're pleased to be joined by our friend Paula Poundstone. Hello, Paula.
How are you?
I'm just wonderful. How are you?
Good enough.
Now, we have not had you on the show since you were crowned the Downtown Madness Champion, voted by our listeners as their favorite guest of the past year. Has that opened a lot of doors for you out there, knowing that you're huge in Bangor, Maine?
It has, and the responsibilities. Woo!
Yeah, I didn't tell you about that.
Yeah, that, you know, on my podcast, we have Cat of the Week, and people are forever coming up to me saying, you know, can my cat be Cat of the Week? And I say to them, I don't think you understand the responsibilities that a cat takes on.
Yeah, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown, even in the feline world.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of crowns, where is my crown?
Well, you know, we're working on that. Probably if we had coordinated it well, we would deliver it to you when you're here in Maine for 3 shows later this month, the 26th at Jonathan's Otagunquit, the 27th at the beautiful Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield, and on the 28th at the Strand in Rockland. Maybe we can get something together.
Huh?
Well, yes, we're pretty lucky that you get to come back. Now, what's it been like? Has the road changed? You're back out there doing shows again. Anything different?
Is there anything different? Well, yeah. I mean, I started back out on the road in June, and in the beginning, they limited capacity in places. You know, there's always the dance about what the rules are, because I work in different states. I've worked in Florida and Texas because I want to see them while they're still alive. sometimes it's a bit of a wrestling match to get the, I want people vaccinated and masked. I don't know what the rules are in Maine, but, and here's why I want that. The first reason is because I love people and I want them to be safe. And the second reason, and it's not right behind the first reason, there's a distance between the first and the second reason, is that as a business model, killing your audience, not a good idea.
Right. Someone needs to tell the Republican Party that.
Say that again?
Someone needs to tell the Republican Party that.
Honestly, you know, I had the strangest experience. I, with the mask thing, I remember when I was a kid and I would see like a Western on TV, and maybe somebody would rob a stagecoach or a bank, right? And they would tie the bandana around their nose and mouth. And I remember thinking, like, okay, who doesn't know that's James Garner? Like, it didn't seem like much of a disguise to me. But in the course of, I was off the road basically for 15 months, and during that time, I did a volunteer job one day a week, and we wore masks, of course. And but then, remember that little period in May and June when we thought, yes, we got this?
Yeah, that was fun.
We didn't, by the way, but it was a good feeling. So during that period in May and June, we were all vaccinated that worked at this place, and it's an indoor-outdoor job, so we took our masks off. And I literally, most of the people that work there, I had only known in this circumstance. So I literally was standing beside a woman one day, and I said, is Jesse not working today? And she said, I am Jesse. I could not recognize people with the bottoms of their faces, exposed. And then there was, okay, this is a terrible thing, and don't ever tell anybody I said this.
No, it's a secret.
There were some people that I didn't like as much with the bottom part of their face.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because I teach school, and so all day long I'm seeing, you know, just the eyes and occasionally a bit of the nose, and then every once in a while we'll get outside taking a little mask break, and I'll say, who is that? Oh, maybe the mask. Masks sometimes are helpful for more than just health reasons.
Sorry.
Bless you.
I have a chronic cough from allergies and asthma, and boy, does that make, you know, people always kind of stood away from me as a result of that. But now I get quite a distance.
But that's nice if you're trying to, like, in an airport, clear out a little space for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, all the signs in the airport with the stand 6 feet apart and stuff. Like, really? Because we're about, in just a couple minutes, we're going to be seated on top of one. We're going to be seated inside one another, like Russian coupling dolls. They say now that the ventilation system on an airplane is supposedly very good.
Sure. Well, of course they tell you that.
Yeah, they do. They told me that, and I got on the plane. I not only wear a mask, of course, but I also put a blanket over my head, which I do for because I'm going to sleep anyways, and I do it so that everyone doesn't see my mouth hanging open, which they couldn't anyways, come to think of it, with the mask. But that was my habit in the before time, and now I figured, you know, it's just that much more protection.
Makes perfect sense to me. We're talking with Paula Poundstone here on Downtown. You also have an album out that's from your HBO, a classic HBO special from the 90s, Paula Poundstone Goes to College, and now we have a chance to listen to it.
Yeah. I don't know. Some company came along and said, oh, why don't you do that? And I said, because I didn't know how to do that. Thank you. So there it is. Yeah, people can listen to the audio of that HBO special from the 90s. And if I do say so myself, and I do, it's funny. Sometimes in the process of just doing that, I would hear little clips of it again. And I was like, oh my heavens, I forgot that I ever said that, but that's kind of funny.
Are college audiences different from your standard audience?
That audience was a mixture of college students and you know, just regular people. And so when I talk to the audience, and I do, it's my favorite part of any show, it's just the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? So in that show, when I talked to the audience, there were, you know, I talked to people who were out in the working world, and I talked to individuals that were students there. They were all great. I mean, the thing about people, and it's part of why I don't want them to die, you know, you get anybody talking for a couple of seconds, and they're just great.
Yeah, there's a lot of humor to be found out there. Also, I'm looking at the website, and you've got a couple of collections available for digital download on an audio CD, and one of them is, well, you telling jokes right here in Maine.
Yes, that was taped at the Stone Mountain Arts Center a couple years back now, a few years back. You know, one thing that you may notice on that website is a bunch of comedy videos. It's under the tab RX Laughter videos. For years I had made the occasional comedy video, just fooling around with the silly, stupid camera and stuff. But then when the stay-at-home order came into being, I thought it was going to be like a couple weeks or something. You know, I was like, boy, I'm going to have to tighten my belt, huh? And my number one concern really was for everybody else who looked so scared. You know, when you'd see people in the grocery store, everybody was in a panic. And so I thought, well, you know, I got to make comedy videos to, you know, to comfort people. And so I did. And I was banging them out like one a day for a while. And then it became clear that it was going to be longer than a couple of weeks. And then, of course, it dawned on me that I had no income. That was a one of the things I learned during this stay-at-home order is that I'm not essential. And that was a bitter pill.
Well, the videos are great. Now, are you still doing the regular workout regimen?
You know what? I work out twice a day with just a teeny little. I posted on Twitter. I started, you know, again when the stay-at-home order occurred. I used to go to a taekwondo self-defense guy. I used to go to a kickboxing guy. And I loved those things, by the way. But now, you know, couldn't do that anymore. And so I thought, you know, I really would like to be able to, when I did push-ups, I did the kind on your knees. And I thought, you know, I don't know why I want this, but I wanted to be able to do a real push-up, you know, to do them as part of a workout, you know, real push-ups. And so I started by doing 10 push-ups on my knees twice a day, and then I threw in some other, you know, some side dishes. I threw in some other exercises, too, but it was basically focused on this push-up idea. And I posted it, and trainers and other people on Twitter would sort of say encouraging things to me and tell me, like, well, do this and do that. And people said, well, you know, you can do push-ups on a wall and slowly move your feet back, and it gets more challenging. So anyways, the upshot of all this is that I do exercises twice a day. I add on one to each exercise once a week. And somewhere along the way, I started also doing real push-ups, which I could only do 3 at first. So now, today, I do 32 real push-ups twice a day, plus, you know, they're in a bed of other exercises.
That's wonderful. Now, are the cats still amused by this?
You know, I wear a pen on my hanging off my pants, and I also wear an Ellie Mae belt, which means just really a piece of string tying my belt loops together. And they are fascinated by that. So as I'm doing push-ups, I'm squishing cats underneath my pot belly.
Well, I think that probably increases in some way your pliability, your flexibility, or something along the way.
Yeah. Well, it makes you right. It makes you ready. You're not just doing them by rote.
No.
You're very aware of your circumstances. In some of the workout videos that I made, my cats. Well, I had a cat that was very old and ailing, and come to find out, she was blind, and
wow.
She was forever getting in the way. I nearly killed her several times. Doing jumping jacks or something, not realizing she was behind me. And people find those videos where the cat's creeping in slowly, about to be crushed. I don't know. It gives a suspenseful feel to the videos. I do occasionally follow someone else's workout video to do, but, you know, it's always a really fit blonde person. So I made some workout videos feeling that, you know, people would rather work out with someone who looks like me. regular person.
Is there a real-life Rhonda who was the inspiration for those videos?
You know, she's kind of a combination of my mother and my aunt. I was born in Alabama, but my parents moved to Massachusetts a month after I was born. So I was raised, and I'm the youngest in my family, so I was raised by Southerners in New England. It is a little Beverly Hillbillies, you know, without the money.
Yeah, and the cement pond.
We did not have a cement pond, but I believe we had pot passers.
The podcast continues to go well because nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Is humming along. Still really fun to do. We've had some, I'm trying to think who was on this. Who did I just interview? We interview, it's a comedy podcast, but I like there to be some information in there so that if people don't feel we were hysterically funny that week, they go away with a little piece of solid information. So we mostly interview people that have information that is, that's helpful just to a regular person. You go, oh, I didn't know that. So, for example, I think one of my favorites ever was we interviewed a plumber, and that's how I learned that you're not supposed to put Kleenex in your toilet. I didn't know that. And I got to tell you, it's changed my relationship with my plumbing.
I didn't know. I'm just learning this now. Why no Kleenex?
It's a thicker, weave isn't the right word, but ply, whatever. It's thicker than toilet paper. And so it clogs the pipes.
Oh, boy.
It's very helpful to know. And the other thing is, that if you pour hot water, I mean, I want to you want to melt the PVC pipes, but if you pour hot water down your drains, you know, once a month or so, it keeps them in better stead. And that's something that I do now. I mean, we literally were calling a plumber like once a month there for a while, and now, I don't know, several months go by before we have an issue.
Well, that's
so
good news.
We have guests like that often, and then we have guests, and then of course we make jokes about it. But we have a section of the show sometimes called Outside the Actor's Studio, where an accomplished actor or actress comes on and coaches me in auditioning. We read a scene together, and that's been really, really fun. We most recently had John Cleese in that position, and he was very funny. He seemed to think maybe I should give up the idea of acting, but still, he was very funny.
Now, when you do Wait, are you doing that remotely?
Now, we did in the summer. I think in August sometime, we did a show with a live audience where we were all together at Tanglewood in Massachusetts.
Right.
We used to have a home in Chicago, and then we were on the road, you know, once a month maybe. And all that's changed with COVID. So we have, for the most part, been, everybody trying to figure out their stupid Zoom thing.
We are such big fans of Wait. We've had a bunch of your fellow contestants on the show, and we had Bill Curtis on a few months ago. And boy, if he wasn't my hero before, he sure is now. What a great guy and a funny guy he is.
Isn't he great? Yeah, I really love Bill Curtis. It's a fun show, and one of the things that's great about the show, Wait, Don't Tell Me, is that. Prior to podcasting, where, you know, one of the things about podcasting is, you know, a lot of the seams are on the outside, which I like.
Mm.
But in most television or radio situations, performers are hired and then sort of told, well, don't say that and don't say that and don't do that and don't do that. And, no, make sure you stick to the script. Whereas Wait, I mean, one of the joys of doing that show, I remember the first time I ever did it, I had that headset on, and the director kept saying into my headset, like, jump in anytime, say whatever you want. Like, wow!
I love it.
It was a high school driver's license type of freedom.
Paula Poundstone, she is appearing later this month, the 26th, Jonathan's in Ogunquit, the 27th, Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield, and on the 28th at the Strand in Rockland. She is, of course, the Downtown Madness champion. And between now and the end of the month, maybe we can get our engravers to do their job and finish up the work on that crown. When it's done, though, it'll be worth the wait.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. In fact, what I've been doing is growing my hair specifically and styling it so that the crown can sit, you know, on a bed of hair and cling to my head.
I can't wait to see it. It'll come together beautifully. Paula, thank you.
I've been consulting the queen about how she did it.
As you should. Thanks, as always, Paula, for joining us. Be well, travel safely on your way here to Maine, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, take care.